What's up, you guys? This is Jessica Melanie's AI assistant here to once again introduce the show. I'm happy to be here to help welcome you to This Blonde Can Talk About Anything with your host, Melanie. This is episode 98.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to This Blonde Can Talk About Anything, as you know and love it. I'm your host, Melanie, with two L's because the spelling of your name doesn't change from like a week and a half to the next. I say this because... So the last time I was here to chat with you guys, I was here to talk about, you know, if you've been following the podcast, you know, I have three favorite seasons, which is, you know, football season, award season, and, you know, summer. But one of my favorite seasons had just ended, which was football season. And I was here to defend Tom Brady's honor, which I am always so excited and happy to do. And if I don't name drop Tom Brady, is it even my show? Is it even the show that you're used to? So then I had every intention of returning to the podcast like midweek on Wednesday of last week to talk about the SNL 50th anniversary show celebration and whatnot. And just my luck, technical difficulties have kind of been a theme on this podcast, because I'm just so not technology savvy. And I don't, for example, Simon, who is the person who you can thank for the existence of this podcast, was kind of surprised that I didn't have a backup charger for my computer. Here's the thing. I only use my computer to record the podcast and to write like screenplays. I don't use it to do self-tapes. I don't even use it to send emails. I don't even use it to edit. It's literally just like I'll record and I just do everything on my phone, and I've been doing everything on my phone for years. So it would make more sense for me to have a backup charger for my phone, which I don't even have that. The other night at like 4 o'clock in the morning, my charger crapped out and I had like 20% battery. But thankfully that was resolved, you know, in the morning. But here's the funny thing. Oh, this is the sad part. I thought that my computer charger was broken because for some reason when I was plugging it in, it wasn't connecting to the, well, I shouldn't say it was connecting. It wasn't showing me that it was charging. So I assumed that, you know, my cat chewed it or something. But no, actually, there was nothing wrong with the cord. I think it was the actual outlet that I was using that had an issue. And I just didn't know that. And then just for shits and giggles, I'm like, I'm just going to give it a shot. And it worked. So here we are. Now I have a few things to talk about. The first being, you know, SNL 50. And then I want to talk about the SAG Awards, because I'm a little bit disappointed, a little bit miffed with the SAG Awards. So yeah, this is your typical episode of me where I just kind of give you everything that's on my mind and you either sit through it or you don't. I need a co-host or something so that I'm not talking to myself so much. I've had people sending me DMs asking me, you know, do I intend on having guests again? What's the situation with that? Let me clear that up. So the fires in LA are a very serious matter. And so for all of January, it didn't feel right to hop on here or on any, you know, gadget and start sending out emails and asking people, hey, do you want a guest on my show? Because I don't know who has lost what. So I don't want to like reach out to someone to come on here and have lighthearted conversation when they're dealing with the aftermath of losing everything. And then it's like all of February is kind of award season. So nobody really has time to guest on my podcast. So I just kind of left it alone. But March 1st is fast approaching and I have every intention of starting to reach out to people to guest on the show again, following the Academy Awards. So that's where we stand with that. I get a lot of questions about Lucas Grabeel specifically because I did tell you that he would be on this year. Now, when I say this year, that doesn't mean, you know, January. I have been in touch with Lucas and his team. It looks like we're going to do it at the very beginning of like summer, which is great because Lucas is a High School Musical icon. And we all remember that song, you know, Summer. Summer, finally summer's here. Good to be chilling out. I can't sing, but that's the song. So I actually think that that's perfect timing. And when he's ready, he'll be here. And when he's ready and he is here, the conversation will be awesome. I've already had my own, you know, chat with Lucas, like a 3-hour conversation, and he's magnificent. And I do want the whole world to, you know, be aware of what he's up to and how amazing he is. But you have to wait. And sometimes waiting brings you like an, it's better. When you wait, what you get is better. I don't know how else to word that. Most of you know I'm a chronic insomniac. So when I don't sleep, I kind of, you know, mumble like this. And I've been dabbling recently with various sleep drugs. My doctor has been prescribing me different drugs to try to put me to sleep, none of which are working. The only thing that works is Ambien. And the doctor doesn't want to prescribe me Ambien because she says she has the right to withhold whatever drug she thinks is, you know, not safe. And I, whatever, this is not my doctor retired and I'm stuck with this mess. She's tried prescribing me sleeping pills that when I Googled it, it was like the primary use was for like schizophrenia, which I don't have. And then she prescribed me Xanax, and just for the, because I was so tired, I took one. And for 3 days, I had this like a very bizarre taste in my mouth. And it was so bad that like I would eat and the taste would just not go away. So I'll not be taking that again, which means that there are many sleepless nights in my future. Hopefully this is not one of them. I don't think that my dad is listening to my podcast, but in the event that he is listening to my podcast, Pierre, I just want to say, I don't know how you do it because I inherited this condition from you and you're a workhorse. And I don't know how you don't sleep and go to work for 16 hours. I don't know. He's not listening. Okay, let's move on. So I didn't get to talk about SNL 50 right after SNL 50 again because of this cord situation. And I really need, I think maybe next time I should just try the cord in another outlet. But the title of my show lets you know one thing's for sure. I am blonde, so maybe I'm a little dumb. I'm actually not, but I'll play it up if I have to. Before I get into the SNL 50 thing, I have something that I want to say. I auditioned to play back in October. I auditioned to play young Elle Woods in the Amazon series Elle. And I went into it knowing that I was probably not going to get the role because I do not have the correct body type and whatever. But I couldn't live with the idea of not auditioning for the show, for the series, because I'm such a Legally Blonde fan. I mean, I went to Harvard for a day. And just like Elle Woods is so ingrained in me. And as an actor, there's a lot of competition and there's a lot of people who will tell you to, like, you know, people in the audition room are not your friends and, you know, it's competition and whatnot. And I just want to take a second to say a huge congratulations to Lexi Mindtree. She will be our Elle Woods. And I personally cannot wait to see what she does with the character. I know that there's another character waiting for me to bring it to life, but I'm just really excited for Lexi. She could not be sweeter. She is absolutely stunning. And I really just can't wait to see what she does with the role. So congratulations, Lexi. Break a leg. Actually, break them both because you're going to be so fabulous. And when I say break a leg, I don't actually mean break a leg for anybody who's listening to this and thinks that I'm trying to harm a fellow actress. That is not the case. So let me move on to SNL 50. So I didn't watch the SNL 50 concert. I watched like bits and pieces of the SNL 50 concert. I was not alive 50 years ago, but I am a fan of SNL. And I was shocked by like a few things, but mostly I was shocked by the way Brian Luttrell of the Backstreet Boys sounded when I heard him sing. Kind of broke my heart. But turns out he has a condition. And again, Brian is not listening to this, but I just want to say, if I were in his shoes, I would say, I'm done. I quit. I'm done. This man is out there pushing through, and I could not admire that more if I tried. So like, shout out to Brian Luttrell of the Backstreet Boys for being an inspiration, really, and showing us that if we truly love something, we should continue to do it at whatever level we are able to do it. And I mean, it's not like you can't go back and listen to an old recording of I Want It That Way, the very famous Backstreet Boys song, to hear how beautiful his voice was. And I thank him for continuing to entertain people, you know, when he doesn't have to, when it would be so easy to say, I'm done. Apart from that, I was shocked by Cher because I don't really look at Cher that much, but like what? Like she's in her 70s. If that's 70, I'm a little bit less scared of it, but I'm far away from 70, but she looks amazing. And I did see some people online kind of criticizing her. And I just want to say this. Number one, yes, she's had plastic surgery. It's not your money. It's not your money. So you have no business to, you know, make comments about her face, her body, whatever. Her body is bodying, and that's coming down to like nutrition and working out. She looks amazing, and her voice is still extremely, extremely, extremely strong. I wasn't around for Sonny and Cher. I wasn't around for like the height of Cher's fame, but I do remember my mom listening to that song, Do You Believe in Life After Love? A lot. I can't even do the voice. That was really rude of me. I'm sorry. And she still sounds amazing. And, you know, she was singing If I Could Turn Back Time. And I just want to say, if I could turn back time, I would make Ben Affleck look the way he did in 1999 so that it wouldn't be weird for us to date. And yes, this is me saying that I would like to date Ben Affleck, which you all know. Anyway, let's move on. So I don't know if you guys have seen the film, the Jason Reitman film. It's called Saturday Night, and it is based off of I think it's an hour and a half long. Yeah, an hour and a half movie. It's the hour and a half that comes before the very first episode of Saturday Night Live. I watched the film, and I'm not here to review the film, but it stars, you know, the amazing Rachel Sennott, the amazing Dylan O'Brien, the amazing, amazing Nicholas Braun in two roles, like insane two roles. You're playing two roles in one movie. I couldn't do it. Well, maybe I could. Robert De Niro did it. If Robert De Niro did it, I could probably do it, right? Because we're all capable of doing whatever De Niro does. It's just a really great cast. Lamorne Morris, Gabriella Bell. There's a lot of great cast. It's a huge cast. J.K. Simmons, Willem Dafoe. I'm not going to get into that. But if you watch the film, which I did like back in October, and then if you had tuned in on Saturday night, they showed that episode, the episode of the very first episode of Saturday Night Live from 1975. The film like perfectly tells the story of the minutes leading up. And then you see the episode and it all makes sense. The episode was kind of a little strange for me to watch because the comedy is like, it's older. It's more like probably my grandpa's time of finding things funny. They're his jokes, you know, like Martin Short, those types of guys, like Dan Aykroyd. And Martin Short was actually not even there yet. There was a Dan Aykroyd, Chevy Chase, whatever. But I did watch it. I found it a little dry. I know Belushi was really big, but I don't get it. But that's just me. I'm not going to say that he wasn't great because he was for a different era. And then the following night, they did like all these different sketches where they brought back a ton of, you know, past cast members. It was so nice to see John Mulaney, although Mulaney's been guesting quite a lot lately. Pete Davidson was back again. We've seen him a lot. Martin Short, seen him recently. I always love to see Martin Short. I always love to see Steve Martin. I always love to see Maya Rudolph. I always love to see Jason Sudeikis, Kristen Wiig. So you can kind of see where I started watching SNL based on those names. Vanessa Bayer was there. Just so many great cast members from the past. But what I don't understand is that Dan Aykroyd was not there. Dan Aykroyd is from my hometown, by the way. So shout out to Dan Aykroyd. And Chevy Chase was, and they heavily promoted Chevy Chase as being part of the show, but Chevy Chase did nothing. Like, he was the original anchor for Weekend Update, which of course is now anchored by Colin Jost and, oh, why am I forgetting somebody's name? Michael Che. I didn't forget. So yeah, he was the original anchor. And I thought it was kind of, I thought that if at any point they were going to use him, that would have been it. And they just didn't, which I found to be so strange. Andy Samberg was back with some Lonely Island stuff, Mike Myers, Fred Armisen, Scarlett Johansson, Kim Kardashian. I'm trying to like remember, oh, Meryl Streep, Rachel Dratch, which who wasn't in it nearly enough. Pedro Pascal, Cecily Strong was back. Bill Murray was back. It would have been really interesting to see Bill Murray and Chevy together because they don't get along. Kyle Mooney was back. Bobby Moynihan, a lot of people that we've seen recently, like John Hamm, Sabrina Carpenter, Miley Cyrus, who I'm like obsessed with. She has aged incredibly well. Not that she's old, but like she's just turned into this like absolutely gorgeous, brilliant human being who I love. Amy Poehler was there, Tina Fey, like all of our collective favorites. It was a great show. Emma Stone, the superstar herself, Molly Shannon, Tracy Morgan was there. It sounds like I'm reading off a list and I'm not. It's just top of my head. Chris Rock, which he was there recently. Pete Davidson did a bit as Chad. I don't know if you watched the show with Lorraine Newman, which was really sweet. Although I feel like it was more about Pete than Lorraine. Pete, by the way, is looking really good. Really, really good. Bad Bunny was there. Nate Bargatze, which some people are like, who's that? But he's actually so freaking funny. Lil Wayne. I'm really trying to remember everyone who was there. Adam Sandler did like an in memoriam sort of thing, which kind of like, not kind of, it broke my heart. It really did, just to see how many wonderful, talented people we lost. Eddie Murphy was back. I don't think I can ever forget seeing Adam Driver as a hot dog. It was in the Mulaney sketch, which is Mulaney does these musicals and they're quite funny. Eddie Murphy, everybody who's a Kim Kardashian, anybody was there. And one person who was there, I just want to give a shout out to Miles Teller, who lost everything in the California fires and still manages to go out there and put on a smile and make other people laugh. And I thank him so much for that because laughter is so needed in the world that we are currently living in. And of course, they closed out the show with Paul McCartney. I love Paul McCartney. Who doesn't love Paul McCartney? I mean, it's Paul McCartney. Oh, Tom Hanks was there. See, I'm going to just go off on this. What I'm trying to get to is just that I really enjoyed SNL 50. It's not like a review of SNL 50. It's not a recap of SNL 50, but this is maybe me nudging you to go watch SNL 50 on Peacock because it's there and it's streaming. And you can watch the 50th anniversary concert as well. Oh, Drew Barrymore was there too. Like tons of just like Robert De Niro. Oh, Robert De Niro. When I saw Robert De Niro, I was like, damn, because I'm gonna be completely honest with you guys. I have a crush on Robert De Niro. He's 82 years old. He has swag for days, but he has class. He's classy and he just has this charm of a young man. He still has it. Like it's there's this twinkle in his eye. And with everything that he's been through, you know, lost his grandson not that long ago to, I'm not going to get into that, but he's been through so much and he still has this twinkle in his eye. And I hope that when I'm 82 years old, I still look that good and that I still have that twinkle in my eye. But Robert, if you're listening, I'm single and you're not. But if you become single, call me. My phone number is 647. No, no, we're not going to give out phone numbers here. But if Robert wants my phone number, he can reach out directly and I'll give it to him. Well, I could just DM it or send it to his daughter, but I won't because I love Joanna and she doesn't want me dating her dad and he has a girlfriend. So let's move on from that. But yeah, I highly encourage you to watch SNL 50. Let's talk about the SAG Awards. Next episode, we will probably be talking about the Oscars, which I'm very excited about. Oscars are my favorite of all the award shows just because it's just so glamorous and beautiful, and there's just something really special about it. I don't want to do like a whole, what do you know, best dressed and all that kind of stuff because it's so subjective, but I will give you my, let's say, top 10 dresses in no particular order. The beautiful little fairy Miss Ariana Grande looked absolutely stunning in a little pink number. I'm still not over it. She just looked absolutely gorgeous. And she's so, you know, she's so pretty. And it's just like, with a basic ponytail swinging behind her. And she just looks like absolutely ethereal. And I love her. I'm a huge Ariana Grande fan, if you can tell. Second dress that I really, really loved, Monica Barbaro. Hello. She was like absolutely knockout in a red dress. She looked, it was a very understated, but I mean, there's a lot of cleavage, but there wasn't a lot of sparkle or anything, which is typically what I do like. But she looked gorgeous. Anna Sawai surprised me in a very sparkly red number, which I adored. I wanted to like jump in the TV and borrow it. The effervescent Miss Leighton Meester looking absolutely gorgeous. I'm trying to count on my fingers to make sure that I don't named too many dresses that I liked because I do like a lot of the outfits. Not all of them, but most. Justine Lupe in a blue number, a long blue classic number. Really liked it. Pamela Anderson. I know she didn't have any makeup on, but her hair was well done and she looked kind of like a Greek goddess. And I really liked it. I really liked it. I'm probably gonna get shit on for this, but I really loved Jamie Lee Curtis's feather and sparkle number. You know, I am a glamour girl. I love the idea of being too much. And I mean, how shall I say this? I'm trying to think of the words that I want to say, but they don't want to come out because my brain is cramping because I'm tired. If it's worth doing, it's worth overdoing. Did she overdo it? Absolutely. Did it work? Absolutely. Okay, so I think that's six. And watch me play this back and be like, oh, it was five. Not my favorite dress, but I did think Demi Moore pulled it off. She looked good. It's not something that I would have worn. But she definitely looked like quite gorgeous. Marissa Boat, I don't know if Marissa Bodie, she plays Elphaba's sister, Nessa Rose, and Wicked. She looked so cute in her little sparkly black dress. I really liked it. I loved Elle Fanning's classic black peplum dress. I think I'm at seven. I could be at eight. I don't know. Kristen Bell's many outfit changes were all absolutely stunning for me. And who else really stuck out to me? I don't want to say like who the best dressed list is, because there is a list of that that I don't always and rarely agree with. So I don't go off the list. I go off of my own, you know, what I like. So let's just assume that this is eight now. Keke Palmer was looking gorgeous in this vintage, I think, Chanel number. Very, very stunning. Kerry Washington, hello. That's nine. Oh, I have one more. I want to say Kristen Bell again, because she wore so many beautiful dresses or beautiful outfits, period, because she was the host. I'm gonna give my last favorite dress to. I have to hard think. Think hard on this one. Like I'm actually actively like playing this in my mind, because I don't know. I actually don't know. I'm just thinking. This is how awkward I am. Jeremy Strong. Yeah, I'm giving it to a man, because I can't think of another dress that really stuck out to me, which is weird, because Jeremy's outfit was so weird, and his outfits generally are. And Timothée Chalamet in that leather number with the lime green, I also quite liked. All the men looked great, though, as do, because their outfits are just so basic. They don't have to go all out like we ladies do. But yeah, that's where I stand with best dressed. As far as worst dressed, I never like to give a worst dressed list, and so I won't. But I was very confused by Cynthia Erivo's dress. Like, I couldn't decide if I loved or hated it, especially because the like collar area, the neck area, and the sleeves were fringe. And as a Wizard of Oz kid, it was really reminding me of the Scarecrow when his straw is everywhere. So I don't know if that was intentional or not, but I did think that she looked beautiful, despite the fact that it's not a dress that I would personally have worn. But that doesn't matter. Sometimes, you know, personal style is personal style. And just because I wouldn't wear it doesn't mean that it's not nice on someone else. I would wear Timothée Chalamet's, you know, leather suit and lime green blouse or shirt, if you will. And I'm a girl, so, you know, whatever. Fashion is fashion. Style is style. We all have like our own style. We all have our own preferences. So yeah, I didn't love Cynthia's dress, because it reminded me so much of of the Scarecrow from Wizard of Oz. You have to understand that I have seen the Wizard of Oz probably over 1,000 times. So it's just giving straw man, but she still looked absolutely gorgeous. And that's all I have to say about the fashion. And now we're going to get into some of the, what I thought of the awards, who I thought should win, who won. And then maybe I'll give you my Oscar predictions, and then I'll shut up. Does that sound good to y'all? Because I can't hear you, but I'm just going to assume that you're all screaming yes. You know what? Maybe I should just share a few of my favorite moments of the show too. So Kristen Bell in a beautiful white pantsuit, sang, you know, a version of Do You Want to Build a Snowman? But it's called Do You Want to Be an Actor? And it's so applicable to all of us who are actors. Just because we are not famous does not mean we are not actors. And my beautiful friend Natasha, who I met through, you know, the magic of both of us loving film, she posted that video, and I commented, you know, back to her. I said, this really resonated with me. Oddly enough, she had already DM'd me and the same video and said, you know, one day they will show your images. And I was like, you know, I responded, hadn't seen that she wrote that. And I was like, I took this so personally. And she replied, hence why I believe what I said above. And Natasha is so special to me. We have this really strange bond. She's the Elphaba to my Glinda. I just love her. And it meant a lot to me that she recognized me for what I am, because I have a lot of friends who are like, you're not working today. No, maybe I'm not working today, but tomorrow my life could change. My name is Melanie and I am an actor. Someday I'll get to say it on the SAG Awards. Another moment that I loved was Kristen Bell and Leighton Meester's little Gossip Girl kind of like reunion thing. It was silly, but I loved it. I'm loving seeing the renaissance of Leighton Meester. She's such a talented actress, and for such a long time, we didn't really get to see her shine. And she is glowing right now. And her amazing husband, Adam Brody, is also having a renaissance with Nobody Wants This, Everybody Wants This. yeah, I'm really loving seeing that. And one of my absolute, I really loved Demi Moore's speech. But my absolute favorite moment of the night came from somebody that you wouldn't expect it from me for me to say this about. I like Timothée Chalamet, but I love Lucas Hedges. We're not going to get into that. And there was a time when Lucas and Timothée's careers kind of overlapped. And I do think that Lucas's career maybe took sort of a backseat because Timothée is very conventionally attractive. And Lucas is kind of more of like an oddball sort of, looking guy, but such a talented actor with so much heart. And last night, Timothy won, which congratulations to Timothy. And he won my heart over because he said, I want to be one of the greats. I want to be Marlon Brando. And my heart exploded, and like I feel like Marlon Brando somewhere in heaven smiled so big. Because if I had a dollar for every time I mentioned how very much I love Marlon Brando, and someone told me that they didn't know him and did not, had never seen any of his films, like I'd be a billionaire, but it breaks my heart every time. So when he said, I want to be great, I want to be like Marlon Brando, I was like, Timothy, you have my full support. Not that he didn't have it before, because I support this whole community. We are all one, really. We all know each other's struggle. So yeah, big love to Timothy. Big love to Miss Demi Moore, who is really showing us that there is absolutely no reason why we should quit at any age. Look at her. She's finally getting her flowers. So Jane Fonda received the Lifetime Achievement Award last night. I think it's about damn time. That's all I have to say about that. I'm a huge Jane Fonda fan. I think she's talented. I think she's beautiful. I think she's everything that we all wish we could be. And she's like in her 80s. So, I mean, hello, right? Like, I'm not the only, I cannot be the only one who sees just how incredible it is to have a career last that long and still be that good. So, shout out to Jane Fonda. I have no complaints over who won the Lifetime Achievement Award. I just want to say next year, it needs to be John Goodman. It needs to be John Goodman. Let me repeat myself. Next year, SAG, John Goodman, Lifetime Achievement Award. It's about damn time. Okay. I'm a big John Goodman fan. All right. So, I'm looking at a list now of who won. So, outstanding performance by a cast in a motion picture went to Conclave. I have not seen it, so I cannot speak to whether or not it was good or bad. But knowing that that group of actors absolutely was deserved, I'm super glad that it wasn't Emilia Perez, because not only do I think the film is bad, it's offensive. And the whole like Carla Sophia Gascón controversy left a bad taste in my mouth. If I were handing out the SAG, and if it was just me, let's just assume I'm voting, I would have given it to Wicked. The reason I would have given it to Wicked is because I'm a Wizard of Oz kid. I watched Wicked and I cried. I went back down that yellow brick road and I went right back to the Emerald City, and it reminded me who the fuck I am. So yeah, I would have given it to Wicked. And I think that as much as I would love to see Bryan Cranston's version of the Wizard, I thought Jeff Goldblum was amazing. I thought Ariana Grande was insanely good. Cynthia Erivo blew me away. Michelle Yeoh, like Michelle Yeoh, what more can I say? Ethan Slater, Marissa Bodhi, as I said, and of course, Johnny Bailey, everybody's favorite. So that's where I would have given it. Outstanding performance by a female actor in a leading role. The winner was Demi Moore. I agree with that. I think Demi Moore has put in so much work over the years to very little fanfare. And I think that she earned this. Do I think that Cynthia Erivo should have won it? I think this whole category, minus Carla Sofia Gascón, deserved to win it. Pamela Anderson being nominated is outstanding and beautiful, and it makes me happy because her, as she as well, is known for just being this beautiful, blonde, sexy woman. And here she is at 60 years old, finally getting her flowers, which is again a testament to like, do not give up. If it's what you want to do, if you love it, just do not give up. Cynthia Erivo really did blow me away in Wicked, with especially the fact that she's like suspended on a broom and singing like live, which is absolutely nuts. But there is Wicked for Good, which is coming out on November 21st, which is my grandparents' wedding anniversary. So I think next year Cynthia will take it. I think next year Wicked will clean up. Because it's coming out on such a special day, this is just me personally. It's a special day, and that film is so ingrained in my history and in the history of my grandfather specifically. So I think Cynthia will have a great chance next year. I think Mikey Madison is a tour de force, obsessed. Like, I give me more. If I was Britney Spears, I would say that. She's a star on the rise. She will have plenty more chances, and I hope to work with her. Carla Sofia Gascón, I would like to strike from the record. I have nothing to say. Outstanding performance by a male actor in a leading role. I honestly thought it was going to go to Adrien Brody for The Brutalist because he's been cleaning up so much at every other award show, but I was not sad to see Timothée Chalamet take it. He's been nominated so many times for different things, and I can still see his like sad little faces when he doesn't win, because even though we're happy for the other people, it does almost kind of feel like a, oh, I wasn't good enough kind of situation. But I do want to say, out of the thousands of performances that come out in a year, like five or six people get nominated, five or six films get nominated. And for that, like, that's the win. That, in my opinion, that's the win. So for you know, outstanding performance by a male actor in a leading role, I agree that Timothy deserved it for A Complete Unknown. However, Adrien Brody, Daniel Craig, Colman Domingo, and Ralph Fiennes are all insanely talented actors. And they should really, I mean, I'm surprised Timothy didn't go up there and pull a Mean Girls and just like break it into pieces and give some to everybody, because it's really, all of them were so deserving of it, in my opinion. But I do think that that Timmy deserved it. Not only did he put in a solid acting performance, he sang. Like, it's just, it's a lot. There's so many things that go into a performance that if you've never been an actor, or if you've never been on a set, or you don't know how films are made, you don't know how difficult it is to actually get this done. So I do, and I applaud everyone in the category, and I congratulate Timothy. Outstanding performance by a female actor in a supporting role went to Zoe Saldana for Emilia Perez. I'm confused. Is it Zoe Saldana or Zoe Saldana? Saldana. Because for years she went by Zoe Saldana, and then she did this movie that required, that's, you know, it's based on, Emilia Perez is a mess. That's based on, you know, the people of Mexico and all of that. I don't want to talk about it in that much. If you want to dig deeper, have at it, but I don't want to talk about it. Now all of a sudden, I always thought that she was a woman of color, but she never identified as Latina before, and she never identified as Zoe Saldana. And when she talks now, all of a sudden, she doesn't say like Ariana, Selena, she says Ariana, Selena. And I find it really strange and really put on. That movie was honestly terrible, honestly offensive. Honestly, I don't understand how she's cleaned up this award season. And I personally take offense to her saying, quote, "I am so proud of this film. I would do it again and again." You know that it has alienated people, that the LGBTQ community is mortified by the film, especially the trans community. And the people of Mexico are mortified by this film. And you say that you would do it again and again. That to me is just a little bit, it's offensive. I have all the respect in the world for Zoe. I think she's an insanely talented actress. However, I think that this is not the award that she should have, this is not the, this is not the project she should have won for. I think this is one of the situations where it's like you're owed an Oscar or an award, whatever. And so they give it to you based on your body of work. I don't think she really won it for Emilia Perez because it was terrible. Kind of like how Leo won for The Revenant, but really he had like 10 better performances. And Bryan Cranston should have won for Trumbo that year, but we'll let that go because otherwise I'm going to go, you know, on a tangent and we don't want that. Monica Barbaro, a complete unknown. She didn't only act, she sang. Again, this is very difficult to do, to pull like double duty. So if she would have won, I think that would have been beautiful. Jamie Lee Curtis was sensational in The Last Showgirl. Again, I have so much respect for her. Would have been, you know, happy to see her win. I didn't see The Piano Lesson, but I do think Danielle Deadwyler is an insanely talented actress. But you already know what's coming. If I'm giving out the award, it's going to Ariana Grande. The second she started singing No One Mourns the Wicked, in my opinion, she had won it. Her voice is unmatched, and her performance as Glinda or Galinda, Galinda and later Glinda, is so layered, and she doesn't get enough credit for that. And I would have given it to her 100%. Let's just assume I'm a voter, and these are my votes. Outstanding performance by a male actor in a supporting role. I don't actually understand how Kieran Culkin is the supporting role in A Real Pain, because I think that I think the film was basically about him, but he won, and that's exactly who I would have given it to. Now, again, this is a super stacked category. Jeremy Strong is one of my favorite actors in all of existence. He was so good in The Apprentice. He's a method actor. And he actually became so thin in The Apprentice that I was like worried that he was sick, even though I knew, you know, he had done this for the sake of the performance. So if he had won, I wouldn't have been upset. None of these would have upset me. I'm Edward Norton, legend. I've loved him in many performances. But I always think back to the score with Marlon Brando because I have that Brando connection. Yura Borisov for Anora also would have been a great choice. Johnny Bailey for Wicked. All the girls are going gaga for Johnny Bailey. I think if the majority of voters were women, Johnny Bailey would win. But Kieran Culkin in A Real Pain, I really related to that because there's a line in the movie where he's talking about his grandma and he says, "I just, the person, the mom, my most favorite person in the world just died," or something. And then Jesse Eisenberg, I don't want to spoil it, but Jesse Eisenberg's character talks to him about how he walks into every single room and lights it up, but he's carrying this deep pain on the inside. And like, it's, you know, he attempted to kill himself in the film. It resonates very deeply with me, so, for personal reasons. So yes, I would give it to Kieran. There was a journalist actually who said, could Kieran Culkin win an award for playing himself? And I don't know who the journalist is. I don't even want to know, and I wouldn't waste my breath giving their name on my podcast. But what I want to say is this. A very wise man, very talented actor named Johnny Depp once said that you have to have some element of self in your performance. Otherwise, it's not just acting, it's lying. And I agree with that. So I think Kieran's performance was beautiful. And I love that we could still see Kieran within the character, even though it was buried. I don't really think that's outwardly Kieran just because of the mannerisms. I think you need to dig deeper. And when you watch the film, and you need to really pay attention to what you're watching, because some people just watch a movie for the superficial experience of watching a movie. I watch a movie to experience the movie so that when the film ends, I'm not the same person. And I actually saw a lot of myself in Kieran Culkin's performance in A Real Pain because I know that pain and I know what it's like to walk into every room and light it up and not have people know what's, really going on the inside. So moving on, outstanding action performance by a stunt ensemble in a motion picture. I honestly expected it would be Deadpool and Wolverine just because I just expected that. But it was the Fall Guy, and the nominees were Deadpool and Wolverine, Dune Part 2, The Fall Guy, Gladiator 2, and Wicked. I think any of the five was the right choice. There is no wrong choice here. So congratulations to the Fall Guy. I did watch it and it was pretty crazy with with the stunt. I've seen all of these except Dune Part 2. I would have given it to Wicked just because I love Wicked so much, but that's personal. But if I'm being professional and fair, Deadpool and Wolverine deserved it. The Fall Guy deserved it. Gladiator 2 deserved it. I haven't seen Dune Part 2, so I can't say, but it probably deserved it. Okay, here we go. Outstanding performance by an ensemble in a drama series. Bridgerton, The Day of the Jekyll, The Diplomat, Shogun, Slow Horses. Shogun won, and I kind of expected that it would. I have never watched it, so I can't say whether it's good or not, but I'm just going to assume that it is. Bridgerton is great. The Diplomat is amazing, but I would have given it to The Day of the Jackal on Eddie Redmayne alone. I know it's on ensemble, but Eddie's performance is like it blows me away. And he's actually nominated on his own, but still, I would have given the ensemble just because of Eddie. Outstanding performance by a female actor in a drama series. So Anna Sawai won for Shogun. Again, I have not seen Shogun. Kathy Bates is legend. So yeah, Nicola Coughlin. Coughlin, Jesus Christ. Nicola Coughlin. I can't say it. Nicola Coughlin. I can't. Well, okay. Nicola from Bridgerton. Allison Janney for The Diplomat. Carrie Russell for The Diplomat. I don't know. My vote probably would have went to either Kathy Bates or Allison Janney, and both of these are kind of on their legendary status and what they've come to mean to me over the years of watching them. Outstanding performance by a male actor in a drama series. I don't know how to say this, so I apologize. Tadanobu Asano, Shogun. Jeff Bridges, The Old Man. Gary Oldman, Slow Horses. Eddie Redmayne, The Day of the Jackal. Winner, Hiroyuki Sanada, Shogun. So Shogun kind of just cleaned up. I don't know how. See, I love Eddie, and his performances are always so good that I'm left awe in awe and speechless. But the same can be said for Jeff Bridges and Gary Oldman after I figured out who Gary Oldman was, because for a really long time I thought Gary Oldman was Christopher Plummer. And then one day, they said Gary Oldman, and then I saw him and I was like, but he's not even old. So I was completely wrong, but he's an insanely good actor. And I have a soft spot for Jeff Bridges. But again, I can't, my heart is with Eddie Redmayne. That's who I would have given it to. But I haven't seen Shogun, so I can't really say who should have won it. Outstanding performance by an ensemble in a comedy series, Abbott Elementary, The Bear, Hacks, Shrinking, Winner, Only Murders in the Building. I kind of expected The Bear to win it. I wanted Hacks to win it. But I am happy for the cast of Only Murders in the Building because it's an insanely stacked cast. However, I am seeing a lot of really disgusting comments on social media. These like stan wars. I'm seeing these people who they choose to like Selena Gomez or Ariana Grande. And they're really trashing Ariana Grande because she didn't win anything and Only Murders in the Building won. I just want to preface this by saying an ensemble is every single person on a cast in a cast. So Selena Gomez did not win a standalone award. So to take that and use it as a weapon to say that Ariana Grande is untalented or unattractive or whatever is a really, really ugly thing. I think you can prefer one to the other without putting the other down. For example, people were, you know, I'm a more of an Ariana Grande girl, but there were people on the internet the other day saying, oh, well, Selena's new song tanked. And I said, who are you to say somebody tanked from behind your screen? Like, what are you doing? Until you can say that you've achieved the same thing, you really don't have room to insult people. I don't like Carla Sofia Gascón based on her behavior, not based on her performances or her looks or whatever. I think Selena and Ariana Grande are both beautiful girls with talents in different They're talented in different ways. And I think the sooner people accept that, the better, because there's no need. This is not how we celebrate women, by pitting them against each other. So I want to say congratulations to Martin Short, Steve Martin, Kumail Nanjiani, who I adore, Molly Shannon, Meryl Streep, and Selena Gomez, the entire cast. I'm missing some. Paul Rudd, I'm missing some. The entire cast of Only Murders, because it does take a village to make a show. And Marlon Brando once said that if he should win an award, everybody who made him look good should win an award too. And I kind of agree with that. But that, again, is just me. Outstanding performance by a female actor in a comedy series was won by Jean Smart. I expected it to be won by Jean Smart for Hacks, but I personally would have given it to Kristen Bell for Nobody Wants This. She was sensational. She was funny, and she made me fall in love with her all over again. Quinta Brunson, Abbott Elementary, amazing, but she's been cleaning up for a couple of years now. We love you, Quinta. You don't need another one right now. Liza Colon, Zayas, and Ayo Edebiri, both for The Bear, both super talented, both, no, sorry, Ayo has won before. Both would have been, what I'm trying to say here is both would have been worthy of the win. That was a stacked category. Again, outstanding performance by a male in a comedy series. This shocked me, actually, because it was won by Martin Short, who I love for Only Murders in the Building. I was expecting, I wanted Adam Brody for Nobody Wants This because I love Adam Brody. But I was expecting it to be Jeremy Allen White again, which I find kind of boring because he's been winning it like over and over again. But I shouldn't say that because Bryan Cranston won like 7 Emmys and I was happy for all of them. But Adam Brody, Ted Danson, Harrison Ford, Martin Short, Jeremy Allen White, it's a stacked category. No matter who won, you can't go wrong with that. So, I mean, congratulations to the amazing Martin Short, who I just want to like hug really tightly and like never let go of. And Adam Brody, you will get it next time, buddy, because you are a freaking star. And I'm so happy to see you back on television in your element and just doing so well. Outstanding performance by a male actor in a television movie or limited series. Javier Bardem, Monsters, The Lyle and Eric Menendez Story. Colin Farrell for The Penguin. Richard Gadd for Baby Reindeer. Kevin Kline for Disclaimer. Andrew Scott for Ripley. I kind of expected Richard Gadd to win because he has won a lot, but so has Colin Farrell. So it was, I figured one of those two would win, and it went to the incredible Colin Farrell, who I've met, and he's such a nice guy and very much deserving. Javier Bardem is out of this world talented. Kevin Kline is like, I have a soft spot for these like older actors. He's just a treasure. I love him to death. And of course, Andrew Scott, amazing. Outstanding performance by a female actor in a television movie or limited series. Kathy Bates, The Great Lillian Hall, Kate Blanchett, Disclaimer, Jodie Foster, True Detective, Night Country, Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge, and Kristen Milioti, The Penguin. And of course, the winner was Jessica Gunning for Baby Reindeer. I think we all expected that it was going to be Jessica Gunning because she's been cleaning up. But again, Kathy Bates, Kate Blanchett, Jodie Foster, Lily Gladstone, Kristen Milioti, these are all top-notch actresses. So it could have went either which way, and it wouldn't have been wrong. Outstanding action performance by a stunt ensemble in a television series. The Boys, Fallout, House of the Dragon, The Penguin, Shogun. I was going with The Penguin because that's the one I know the most about, but Shogun won. I have not seen Shogun, so I can't really speak on that, but I'm sure, you know, that they are, it's an amazing show, or it would not be nominated so many times. And that's it for that. that's it for that particular show or award show for the SAG Awards. I want to talk Oscars real quick, and then I'm going to go because I've been talking for, I think, over an hour, which is, you know, easy for me to do. So the Academy is different in the sense that it's only for film. So you're not going to hear, you know, the Only Murders in the Building and that kind of stuff. The TV stuff is not going to be there. So it's all film. It's the last one. It's closing out the season, and I'm excited for it. I do. We all dream in gold. And one of my favorite quotes, I have it on my phone because I keep it close to me because I love it. And I'm going to read it to you now. And again, it's one of my favorite quotes. It resonates with me, and it may not resonate with you. And if it doesn't, that's completely okay. And if it does, great. But the quote essentially is that on Academy Award night, there isn't a person in the world, not you, not me, not the girl next door, who doesn't want to be standing on that stage holding that award. And I really think that's true. But I also think that it's true because I'm an actor. So I understand that feeling. And I don't think I know that there will come a day that I will be standing on that stage. And when I am, I will be have to be carried off by security because I will not be able to stop thanking every single person who's ever touched my life. I'm just very honest and transparent person. So let's talk Oscar nominations. I'm going to give you my predictions because I'm not going to do another episode until post Oscars, which are this Sunday. So best picture nominations: Anora, The Brutalist, A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Dune Part Two, Amelia Perez, I Don't Know Why, I'm Still Here, Nickel Boys, The Substance, Wicked. I think, if we're being honest, it's between The Brutalist and Anora. If I'm giving out the award, it's Wicked. If it's up to me, Amelia Perez is disqualified. I can't believe Netflix is going to foot the bill for Carla Sofia Gascon to attend an award show that after all the turmoil that she's caused. I can't, I'm just in shock, and I really wish that she would not be allowed to attend, but since she's a nominee, I suppose it's only fair. I would give Best Picture to Wicked, but that's a personal choice. Anora and The Brutalist are probably it's going to go to one of those two films, and both are great. So nothing, no complaints there. Best Actor. So Adrien Brody for The Brutalist, Timothée Chalamet, A Complete Unknown, Colman Domingo, Sing Sing, Red Vines, Conclave, Sebastian Stan, The Apprentice. All great choices. All great choices. Sebastian Stan had a particularly daunting task because he had to make us see Donald Trump as human, and that's very difficult, especially right now. I think it comes down to Timothée Chalamet or Adrien Brody. Adrien Brody has cleaned up until SAG. However, usually SAG and the Academy overlap quite a bit, much more than the other awards. And so I do think Timothée Chalamet is going to take this, and that's who I would give it to. Best Actress, Cynthia Erivo, Wicked, Carla Sofia Gascon, Amelia Perez, disqualified, in my opinion. Mikey Madison, Anora, Demi Moore, The Substance, Fernanda Torres, I'm Still Here. I think it's between Demi Moore and Mikey Madison, close race. Demi Moore takes it. Demi Moore deserves it. And again, there's going to be so many more opportunities for Mikey Madison to just like blow us all away. And I know she's going to, and I can't wait to see it. Best Supporting Actress, Monica Barbaro for A Complete Unknown, Ariana Grande, Wicked, Felicity Jones, The Brutalist, Isabella Rossellini, Conclave, Zoe Saldana, Amelia Perez. I'm scared that Zoe will take it because I just don't think she deserves any more awards for this after being so vocal about being proud to alienate people. That really hurt me because I just have so much respect for Zoe. And my pick is Ariana. It's 100% Ariana. There's nobody that I would choose above Ariana. But if it cannot be Ariana, I would really like for it to be Monica Barbaro. I'm so tired. If it can't be Ariana Grande, I would love for it to be Monica Barbaro for just having done exceptional work. Best Supporting Actor, Yura Borisov, Anora, Kieran Culkin, A Real Pain, Edward Norton, A Complete Unknown, Guy Pearce, The Brutalist, Jeremy Strong, The Apprentice. So you're seeing a lot of the same nominees. I don't think we need to question it. I think it goes to Kieran Culkin, A Real Pain. Now, if there's going to be an upset in any category, I think it's going to be either Supporting Actress or Supporting Actor. That's my opinion. If it's going to be Supporting Actress, I do think Ariana Grande has the best chance of ousting Zoe Saldana, but I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen the ballots. And if not her, I do hope it's Monica. In the Best Supporting Actor category, I think, in my opinion, if it's not Kieran Culkin, which I'm like 1,000% sure it will be, I think it's going to be Jeremy Strong, which is weird, right? Because they played brothers on Succession. So it's kind of, I don't know, I'm just excited to see who it's going to be. Best Director, Jacques Audiard, Amelia Perez, disqualified. I'm not even going to, I wish I didn't even have to mention it. Sean Baker, Anora, Brady Corbet, The Brutalist, Coralie Farget. I don't know if I said that. Right? The Substance, James Mangold, A Complete Unknown. Now, this is a toss-up for me because I think Sean Baker could take it, but I also feel like Brady Corbet has it on lock. And then part of me wants The Substance to have it because that film is just insane. But I think if we're honest, it's a two-horse race between Brady Corbet and Sean Baker. Best Adapted Screenplay, A Complete Unknown, Jay Cox and James Mangold, Conclave, Peter Strawn, Amelia Perez, Jacques Audiard, disqualified, Nickel Boys, Ramel Ross and Jocelyn Barnes, Sing Sing, Clint Bentley and Greg Quidar. I might be saying that wrong. I think Best Adapted Screenplay will go to Conclave. I don't think Amelia Perez has a chance in hell, but I could be wrong. If it is not Conclave, maybe Sing Sing, I would give it to A Complete Unknown. Best Original Screenplay, Anora, Sean Baker, The Brutalist, Brady Corbet, and Mona Fassbold. A Real Pain, Jesse Eisenberg, September 5th, Moritz Binder, Tim Felbaum, and Alex David. The Substance, Coralie Farget. I think The Substance could win it. I think The Brutalist probably will win it. And if it's not The Brutalist, it's probably going to be Anora. But this is just me. I think it should be A Real Pain. If you haven't seen A Real Pain, watch it because it's something, it's an anomaly. It's a very special film. And if you've ever lost somebody that you really truly loved and then lost yourself because of it, you'll relate to it and you'll understand why I think it should win if you know me at all. Best Original Song, Never Too Late, Elton John, Never Too Late. El Mal, Amelia Perez, Mi Camino, Amelia Perez, Like a Bird, Sing Sing, The Journey, The Six, 888. just want to explain this. Original song does not go to the person who sings it. It goes to the people who composed the music and wrote it. So for all the Selena Gomez fans out there who are like, oh, if she wins, she's nominated for Mi Camino. No, she's not. It's a nomination for the songwriters and the composers. I couldn't say rightfully who's going to win in this category. I think Amelia Perez should just not win anything. I'm just disgusted by the movie. And this is an opinion. You can be mad at me if you want. So maybe let's just go with the Elton John one because Elton John is an icon and it's a safe bet. I'm probably completely wrong. Best Original Score, The Brutalist, Conclave, Amelia Perez, disqualified, Wicked, The Wild Robot. I think The Wild Robot has a chance. I think The Brutalist has a chance. I think Conclave has a chance. I think they all have a chance except Amelia Perez. But I'm giving it to Wicked because the scoring in that is so beautiful. Like, it's an original score. And if you listen closely, there are undertones of the original Wizard of Oz score. And that, to me, is just a thrill. Best International Feature, I'm Still Here, Brazil, The Girl with the Needle, Denmark, Amelia Perez, France, The Seed of Sacred Fig, Germany, Flo, Latvia. I haven't seen any of these except for parts of Amelia Perez. I have a feeling Amelia Perez might take it. I hope they don't, but I hate rooting against something. But when you believe in something, sometimes you have to root against something else. So please, anything but Amelia Perez. Best animated feature, Flow, Inside Out 2, Memoir of a Snail, Wallace and Gromit, Vengeance Most Foul, The Wild Robot. The Wild Robot is definitely going to take it, in my opinion. I don't even think this is not a prediction. It's a spoiler. Best documentary. I haven't seen any of them. Black Box Diaries, No Other Land, Porcelain Wars, soundtrack to A Coup d'Etat, Sugarcane. I'm just going to pick one based on how that I like that it's called Sugarcane. It's cute, but I haven't seen these, so I don't even know what they're about. Best costume design, Wicked, Nosferatu, A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Gladiator 2. I think it's a split down the middle for me that it either goes to Gladiator 2 or Wicked. I would personally give it to Wicked, but that again is just me. Best makeup and hairstyling, A Different Man, disqualified, Amelia Perez, Nosferatu, The Substance, and Wicked. Can't give this one to Wicked. I'm sorry. The imagery is beautiful, but The Substance makeup is absolutely insane. And also the prosthetics on Sebastian Stan and A Different Man are beyond. So I think it comes down to A Different Man and The Substance. Best production design, Wicked, The Brutalist, Dune Part 2, Nosferatu, Conclave. I'm giving it to Wicked because they used practical sets for most of the movie and they were just so beautiful and they really looked like Oz. Like, I know Oz. I've been to Oz. It's a real place. It's located at 606 Acevale Drive in Ottawa, and it's the living room specifically. I spent a lot of time there as a child and it looked exactly like Oz. So yeah, I would give it to Wicked. I think Dune Part 2 has a really good chance of winning it as well, but I don't know. Next time I hop on the podcast, we will know. Best sound, A Complete Unknown, Dune Part 2, disqualified, Amelia Perez, Wicked and The Wild Robot. I think Wicked because Cynthia and Ariana did all of their singing live on set, which is fucking insane. So I think that that alone should give them the win. Okay, best cinematography, The Brutalist, Dune Part 2, Amelia Perez, disqualified, Maria and Nosferatu. If I had to guess, I would say Dune Part 2 is going home with that one. Okay, this Oscars have so many. Okay, here we go. Where am I now? I've lost myself in this. Okay, best film editing. Anora, The Brutalist, Conclave, Amelia Perez, disqualified, Wicked. I gotta go with Wicked because it's so beautiful and I can't even imagine how much time they spent in the editing bay. That's gotta be absolutely insane. Best cinematography, The Brutalist, Dune Part 2, disqualified, Amelia Perez, Maria, Nosferatu. If I had to guess, Dune Part 2. Best visual effects, Alien Romulus, Better Man, Dune Part 2, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and Wicked. It's subjective. I don't know what other people are thinking, but I know that I would give it to Wicked. Best live action short. I haven't seen any of these. Anuja, I'm Not a Robot, The Last Ranger, Aline, and The Man Who Could Not Remain Silent. I feel like The Man Who Could Not Remain Silent was probably my dad since I talked so much. So maybe that's the one. I don't know. I haven't seen any of these. Best animated short. I haven't seen any of these either. Beautiful Men in the Shadow of the Cypress, Magic Candies, Wander to Wonder, and Yuck. Is Yuck a documentary? Is Yuck an animated short about Amelia Perez? I'm just curious. Let's go with Beautiful Men and assume it's a movie about like Marlon Brando and Ben Affleck as cartoons. Best documentary short, Death by Numbers, I Am Ready Warden, Incident, The Instruments of a Beating Heart, and The Only Girl in the Orchestra. This is the last category, by the way. I don't know. I haven't seen any of these. If I had to guess, I'm going to say Death by Numbers because I probably will be dead by the amount of times that I said that Emilia Perez is not great and should be disqualified, because I know there are a lot of Selena Gomez fans who really, really just want to believe that it was a great film. She may have turned out a great performance, but it was not a great film. It's an ignorant film. It's ignorance. And I don't know how anybody could participate in that, but that is just me. Okay. I think I've done enough yapping, and all the Emilia Perez fans who are listening to this are probably going to want to cancel me, or at the very least, stop tuning into my podcast. I hope that you understand that I'm not trying to hate on any of the cast members, save Carla Sofia Gascon, who I just have no respect for. Yeah, I didn't come on here to trash the film that you liked. It's just I have to speak up. Sometimes you have to do that. You have to use your voice even when it shakes. And so that's what I did. I'm done yapping. I just want to say, if you need a good laugh, my girls, Chloe Richmond and Emily Wilson, have a podcast formerly known as Liddy and Shitty in the Big Bad City, now known as All Body, No Brains. And they do like lives every Sunday, and they're hilarious and they are needed. So if you need a good laugh, I want you to go follow them on Instagram at, oh, I blanked out there, at All Body, No Brains. No one is paying me to say this, just a really good podcast. Go follow them. Tune in on, you know, Spotify, tune in on YouTube. They are two of the funniest gals I've ever met. Now I'm going to mention the people who pay me to mention them. So first off, I got to say a big shout out to Michael Solberg Family Wines. You can find them on Instagram at Michael Solberg Family Wines. if that wasn't obvious. And that's, they have great California wines, as well as the Camel Toe Eliminating Moisture Wicking Made for Women by Women Underwear, Huxwear, HUXWEAR on Instagram. And last but not least, Snack Conscious, the protein balls that actually taste good. They have prebiotics. They're amazing. I eat them all the time. You can find them, and that's not a lie. You can find them at SnackConscious. And I will be back post Oscars to let's see how accurate I am. Enjoy your week. I love you guys, and thank you for tuning in. Bye. There's nothing that can stop you from becoming popular. Lar.